indwell the believer. And then we saw in chapter 15 that not only is he going to comfort the believer, which would mean to strengthen him, exhort him, encourage him, and just the standard definition we would think of, comfort him, you know, when he's sad or depressed or going through a hard time, he brings comfort. But not only that, he will also testify of Jesus Christ and bring things to our remembrance about Jesus and about the Word of God. Well, look at chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. This is a pretty startling statement. Stop and think about how cool it would be to actually be with Jesus, physically walking with Jesus. You're walking by the Sea of Galilee. You're watching him in action as he witnesses to people. You're listening to him preach. He's on the boat and preaching, and you're all on the shore. Just wow. The ultimate preacher, the ultimate soul winner. You ask him questions and just wisdom is rolling off his lips. You know that everything he says is right on. I mean, how great to have that resource of Jesus right there with you. Physically there. I mean, what if Jesus were here right now and we could just talk to him, ask him any question, go out soul winning as his silent partner for a while? But yet, and the Bible is always telling us the truth, my friend. The Bible's right. You know what the Bible says? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is actually superior to having been on this earth walking with Jesus as one of the 12 disciples. That's a pretty startling statement, but he tells them, hey, it's expedient for you that I go away, because then you get the Comforter. Now, that's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That having the Comforter is better than hanging out with Jesus. Having the Comforter inside you, though, actually is better. Let me see if I can shed a little light on this. But first of all, even before we understand it, we should just believe it anyway, because if the Bible says it, it's true. Amen. Jesus telling them, look, because they don't want to lose Jesus. They don't want him to go away. They want to keep him around. If we were there, we'd want to keep him around too. But he says, no. You're going to mourn. You're going to weep. You're going to be sad that I'm leaving. But it's actually expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, you don't get the Comforter. But if I leave, I'm going to send him. What is so great about the Comforter that it's worth Jesus being physically absent? But I think this might help shed a little light on it. Think about how many times the disciples are clueless in especially the Gospel of Mark's account, where you're kind of just thinking like, come on, guys, don't you get it? And he's explaining things and he's doing things, and so many things are going over their head, aren't they? And they're just not getting it. And sometimes you look at it like, wow, how can you not get this? But that's because you've got the Comforter. And this is why this is such an advantage. Having the Holy Spirit inside you opens up the Scriptures unto you in a way that when you don't have the Comforter, you know, you can't see these things that you do see with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture, opens our eyes to things in the Bible, helps us understand the Word of God, testifies of the Word of God. Now look, obviously Old Testament saints, they had some understanding of Scripture, of course, and they had enough understanding to be saved. They had enough understanding to call upon the name of the Lord. They had enough understanding to look forward unto the Messiah and to be saved by his future work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. But they saw through a glass darkly. We see face to face. We see very clearly, much more clearly than the disciples did, and much more clearly than any other Old Testament saints did. And you know what? That's a major privilege. That's a major blessing. So don't downplay the Comforter. Because if you stop and think about just how cool it would be to be physically hanging out with Jesus, the Comforter's better, okay? As hard as that is to believe. The good thing is someday we'll have both, right? You know, we'll be up in heaven, we'll be with Jesus, and we still got the Comforter. So we got both. But think about it. If we were with Jesus and we didn't have the Comforter, a lot of stuff that he says is going to go over our heads. So you say, oh, it'd be so cool to be able to ask Jesus any question, except sometimes you might not understand the answer because he's speaking in all these parables and dark sayings and saying all these cryptic things sometimes. and the disciples are scratching their heads. We've got it all laid out more clearly in the Bible. It's all printed and bound nicely here. I can hold it in my hand. I can take it with me. I can search it using electronic tools. And most importantly, I have the author living inside of me. I have the Holy Spirit of God spoon-feeding this to me every day, making sure that I get something, making sure that I understand something. You know, if I read my Bible and don't get anything out of it, you know, it's like, what? That doesn't happen. Think about it. I mean, if you sit down and actually read the Bible, I guess if you read the Bible and didn't get anything out of it, maybe you're zoned out. Maybe you're not paying attention. Maybe your heart's kind of somewhere else. But I mean, if you actually approach the Bible with a desire to learn and you pray and read your Bible, you know, I believe you're guaranteed to get something out of it. You know, I how could you not when the Holy Spirit's there ready to tutor you in the Bible? You know, how many times have we tried to learn a subject on our own and it just goes over our head and you know, you have to seek out some help, some guidance. The Holy Spirit is that guide inside of us. So not only do we have this amazing treasure of the Word of God, I mean, just having a book that contains absolute truth on the shelf is already an amazing privilege, but how much better when there's someone to explain it to you and someone to teach. And I'm not talking about me. I'm not even talking about your parents. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says you have no need that any man teach you. You have no need that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. The anointing is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you to where you don't even need a man to explain it to you. That's why I believe that in your personal Bible reading time, you should have the Bible and nothing else. There are people that we learn from. You know, you come to church and I preach to you, and hopefully you learn from me. You learn from other brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, some people like to read a lot of books about the Bible. But, folks, if you want to read a book about the Bible, that is never a substitute for reading the Bible itself. Right. Don't just read a book about the Bible. Read the Bible. And here's the thing. I also would avoid study Bibles, commentaries for your Bible time. I'm not saying that you'd never reference something as a tool or something, but here's the thing. You need to have a time each day where it's just you and the Bible with no third party, and let the Holy Spirit teach you the Bible. You don't need a man. It's like, well, I can't understand the Bible unless I've got these notes and this commentary. Then either A, you're not saved, or B, you're just deluded and lacking the confidence in the Holy Spirit to teach you the Bible. You don't need that stuff. Take the training wheels off your Bible, okay? Get a Bible without training wheels that's just the text of Scripture, and let the Holy Spirit have a chance to teach you without Scofield butting in, Spurgeon butting in and interrupting you. You know, you're trying to read the Bible. Hey, read the Bible in peace by yourself with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm qualified. Are you saved? You're qualified to read the Bible on your own. And look, I'm not saying you're going to understand everything. I don't understand everything. You know, somebody asked me a Bible question last week, and you know what I told them? I don't know. Somebody asked, this is what they asked me. You smarty pants out there that know everything, you can, you know. Oh, that's an elementary question. They asked me, you know, in Genesis chapter 9, you know, why is it that Canaan gets cursed instead of Ham? You know, I mean, Ham's the one who did it, but it's like, cursed be Canaan. You know, and here's the thing. I mean, I've got my ideas, I've got my theories, but I can't really give a firm answer on that. So I'd rather just say, you know, I don't think that's clear. I don't know. You know, hey, the woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. Good luck with that verse. You know, there are things in the Bible that I don't understand. And there are a lot of things that I used to not understand, but now I do understand. But here's the thing. When I read the Bible, I don't worry about what I don't understand. I just take what I do understand and I grow on that. Amen. And here's the thing. You might come to one of my sermons and something in my sermon goes over your head. So what? Did you understand anything I preached? You know, just take what I did preach that you could understand and apply that. Learn from that. Grow on that. And when you read your Bible, just find what you do understand. Read the Bible, and I guarantee you God will teach you something. But here's the thing. You're not going to understand the mysteries of the universe overnight. You're not going to learn the whole Bible overnight. It's a slow process. Line must be upon line. Precept upon precept, line upon line. You learn the Bible over a lifetime. I study the Bible every day, and I'm constantly learning new things. I can even go to some of the most familiar books, Genesis. I mean, how many times have I read through Genesis, but yet new things are jumping out at me? You know, it's funny. I go to do a Christmas sermon. You know, every year you got to do the Christmas sermon. And it's like you've done so many sermons on the birth of Christ, and you start running out of ideas, you know, of how we can approach this thing of the birth of Christ. But I tell you what, I open up Luke 2. We've heard it a million times. Open up Matthew 1, heard it a million times. And it's like every year, there's always something that jumps out at me or something that I understand in a new way. And you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit giving me something new because I'm going back and reading the Bible. This is a book you can read over and over again, and you always get something new out of it. And it's because there's a person there spoon-feeding you that new thing. It's not just that, you know, I'm just really perceptive, so I just keep seeing new things because I'm just really perceptive. Like, no. It's the Holy Spirit there that says, okay, here's something new, and he shows you something new. And the next time he shows you something new. So it's guaranteed to be a worthwhile read. You're never going to read the Bible and it be a waste of time. Like, well, that was just a good review session, but I didn't really get anything new. You're guaranteed to get something new. Now, I remember when I was a teenager, being worldly, wanting to just kind of have fun, play video games, just waste time with my friends. I remember preachers would always say, read the Bible until you get something out of it. So I'd always just go straight to Proverbs because I was like, I'm going to get something out of it real fast, and then I can go back to swimming and playing outside and whatever. So it was just like straight to Proverbs, or I'd go straight to 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. It was like, read the Bible until you get something out of it. I was like, done. That's great. That verse, you know, I'll meditate on that. We don't want to do that. Okay, we want to read a serious amount of Bible. And you know what I believe is a good amount of Bible for you to read to set this as your minimum once a year, cover to cover. Okay, that's doable. That's reasonable. And I'll tell you what, if you read it less than that, you know, you're not really going to learn the Bible as well, because it's like by the time you get back around to things, it's been years since you read the other things and you lose context. You know, if you read the whole Bible every year, you're kind of keeping it in context where you get the big picture. You see the forest for the trees. And obviously, as a pastor or a missionary or, you know, other people that are deeper into this kind of stuff or deeper into the work of the Lord, or maybe you're training for those things, you know, you're going to read it more than that. But I think for a godly layman, man, woman, boy, girl, you know, obviously it's not in the Bible telling you, hey, this is how much you're supposed to read. But you know what? I would like to challenge you to make that your minimum. I think every man, woman, boy, and girl can do that because it's about 15 minutes a day. 15, maybe 20 minutes a day. And anybody can carve out that time to be by themselves and read the Bible for 15, 20 minutes a day and get through it cover to cover once a year. Because, you know, I don't want to get up and say, hey, read it till you get something out of it. Because that's too, that, I mean, I get something out of it fast. And then I'm not reading enough. So I want to get a lot of somethings out of it, you know. So I would just say, read your day portion, you know, get on some kind of a plan. And everybody's different. And some people like to do it just start in Genesis and end in Revelation. That's not really my personality. I find that I read more if I read what I feel like reading. And I just have a checklist to make sure I hit it all. And before I start doing it again, I make sure that I don't just avoid certain books or something. So I have a checklist where I check it off. But I jump around. You know, I basically just whatever book I'm in the mood for. Because I find that if I'm in the mood for it, then it's a pleasure, and I read more, I enjoy it. But whatever your system, maybe you do it as a rigid schedule. Maybe you read what you feel like and just kind of keep track of it on a chart. I like to use Excel spreadsheets to keep track of my Bob reading because I'm kind of a dweeb like that. But the point is, however you do it, read a substantial amount of Bible, and I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot out of it because you've got the author sitting next to you explaining it to you. And you know what? I'd rather have that even than walking and talking with Jesus because, you know, Jesus talking to me, this is Jesus talking to me. Except if I was walking and talking with Jesus, I'd be one of those disciples that people are shaking their head about, like, why doesn't Steve Anderson get it? Just like we look at sometimes Peter or John, like, come on, guys, pay attention. We would have been the same way, okay? Because the Comforter gives us this incredible amount of understanding that we might take for granted. You know, I got saved when I was 6 years old. So I can't even really remember a time when I didn't understand the Bible because I've always had that Comforter with me back to some of my earliest memories because obviously I don't have a lot of memories before I was six. So I've understood Scripture. And you that are saved, you understand Scripture. But some of you could probably hearken back to a time before you were saved and remember not understanding the Bible. You know, my wife, she told me that she made some attempts to read the Bible before she was saved. And she read it, read a couple chapters, and said, you know, I don't get it. It went over her head. She lost interest right away. After she got saved, she opened up the book of John, John chapter 1, because I told her after she got saved, I said, hey, here's where you start, you know, book of John, because she wasn't really that familiar with the Bible and didn't really grow up being taught these things and grew up in an unsaved home. She started reading John chapter 1, and it was just like, boom, I understand it. And it was an exact chapter. Didn't you try to read that exact chapter previously, or was it something else that you read? Yeah, she had tried that exact chapter, John chapter 1, unsaved, went over her head, saved. She's like, whoa, I get it. I see it. So, you know, she has a firsthand understanding of what I'm talking about. The Comforter versus sans Comforter. You know, you're going to understand a lot more when you're saved and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Some of you might just be letting that go to waste because you're not reading the Bible. And it's like the tutor is waiting for you. You know, the Comforter is waiting for you. He's waiting to sit there and expound it to you, and you're not even calling upon him. You're not even letting him get into action. You're quenching him when he wants to teach you the Bible. So I want to encourage you to read the Bible this year and take advantage of this wonderful gift that's been given. And if you ever, you know, take this for granted, think about how this was compared favorably with having Jesus physically with you. Hey, you'd rather that I go away so you can get the Comforter. It's that good to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So let me read that.